Accession number 28668, Mr. Frank Rogers, Real 4. Now, we were talking about church prayer, really, but then you brought up the subject of going to the pub. I'm going to come back to that, but can I just ask you how you got on with the other lads who were with you? Were they the same sort of lad as yourself? Were they from Northampton? What was the sort of recruits like?
There was a mixture of lads. I mean, we got lads from working on farms, and they come from as far as Undenham and Lugnan, another place, Peterborough. It's not far, but in these days, but I mean, it was far enough that you couldn't get home at night, sort of thing. And they was round as far as Bedford, Brackley.
So mostly local lads?
Yeah, the perimeter.
How did you all get on? I mean, you're a bit older. I mean, you're 2 years on.
I was an old man compared with someone that was only 18 years old. And I never got any concessions for being 2 years old. I was smaller than most of them. But we got on. But it was a bit, you know, looking down your nose like for one or two. One or two had been in the army cadets, and they could march. There was a bit, there was a far in advance of some of us. And but out of about the first week, you know, everything levelled itself off. And I mean, I'll see blokes, one bloke, and I'm seeing tomorrow, ever since we've been in the army.
So you made friends with most of
them? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got on with everybody.
So no
you had to.
There's
you?
No bullies then? Or
well, there was a couple that thought they were going to, but soon now you get sorted out by the majority.
Now, how is bullying dealt with then amongst a group like?
Two of them get hold of him and give him a bleeding good old, bring him down a peg or two. Yeah, so that's been done. Yeah, and anybody who's, that you find out, trying to knack me up, I don't want to be in the army, I want to get out. And when he does anything wrong, the old platoon has to do the extra drill or not laid out at night. That bloke used to crap himself if anything happened like that. And he either was a genuine sort of bloke who couldn't do it, or he bloody soon changed his mind. And that sort of, and when you get all that, you know, that's how things are.
So you got on generally pretty well with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I miss about the army, in one sense, is the blokes that you join up with and you serve with.
Now, did you have a special pal later? I mean, the what chap you're seeing tomorrow, I mean, or did you have a special pal, or were you just pretty well good pal?
Well, that used to be, living locally, I used to take about four or five home with me, because I was hungry, because I grew up on and all that. I used to take them home up to King's Heath, where I live. And MI used to grub us out a meal. Has she done it? I don't know. Yeah. And that was, you know, that there was a little click, you say click.
Do you remember their names? Or?
Toddy Slaughter. Jeff. I can't think of it. John Dilliston. Pete Sargent.
So they're the main ones.
Yeah.
Now, what about the NCOs, the instructors? How did you get on with them? How did they behave? How good or bad were they?
Well, the only... I didn't have much time for the Lance Corporals.
Why not?
Well, we had one bloke who was a reject from the officers' course, and he didn't come back with a very good sense of humour. And they was frightened of getting a bollocking from above. And because it's like everything else, if anything goes wrong, because then it stops, the book stops with Joe Soap. There were some good lads amongst them. Senior NCOs, or corporals, they knew their job, but they were more relaxed doing the job because they'd been longer at it than what the Lance Jacks was. That was the only difference there. And sergeants, good and bad, we had a good sergeant.
So what made a good sergeant? What was a good sergeant?
Who could come up and talk to you man for man. That's what a national serviceman was all about. He couldn't, you know, because I was I was 2 years older than some of the Lance Jacks, and 2 years difference in age when you're that age anyway, you think, what's this prat up to, you know? What's he know about it? And that attitude, I'm not saying I'm
so
right.
You wanted them to talk to you as a man, you know. And a bad sergeant was, or a bad NCO was someone who didn't or couldn't.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Did they shout and bawl and swear at you much? I mean, you mentioned the drill instructors shouting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the drill instructors were the men that was attached to your platoon all the while. They just wasn't there for marching. They'd done all the room checks and everything with the duty officer and everything.
So there's a fair amount of shouting then?
There was, yeah.
Swearing?
Oh, yeah. That's no problem.
They'd swear at you?
Oh, yeah. They'd swear. Yeah. I mean, it'd be hard for a chap who'd had what we call a sheltered life. I mean, look, myself, working on the building, I mean, I never worked with a woman. I mean, with a woman, but I mean, you get blokes who go in the forces now, they've got women in charge of them, haven't they? You know, it's a different setup when we was in.
Did you see much of the officers?
Well,
at that time, training.
Yeah, you see, they'd be with you eight on the range. They'd be with you all the while.
And what did you think of them? I mean, did you think they were good, or do you think they were better? What do you think of them?
In training, you don't get a true sense of the value of your officers and senior NCOs. But we had one, his name was Second Lieutenant Van Lorne. I don't know one of the late Christian names, and you lost your Christian name. It was Rogers this, Rogers that, or Smith, you know, that was how it was. Or it was, in his case, it was Sir. And he, I don't know what he'd done before he joined the army, but he wasn't a practical sort. He wasn't a hands-on merchant. He gave me his impression that he probably worked in an office, or his family was rich, and he never had to put himself about much. You know, he looked down on us as the first, you know, near enough the right sort of. But there again, he was only doing a job he hadn't been doing. He was only national service. So.
The day's divided up into training sessions. You know, morning, then your lunch, afternoon. Yeah. And then what about in the early evening or the evening? What would you do then?
Well, the last thing you do that you more or less had to do was to cook eggs. When that was finished,
that'd be your tea or supper or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was the main meal most. It was like a light lunch or something, because nine times then you'd be out of camp doing something like force marches and stuff like that.
So you'd have your big meal in the evening,
more or less, yeah.
Now, what do you do after dinner then?
Well, you look at your kit and think, right, here we go again.
Now, let's go on to that. Preparing for kit inspections, we call this. Now, how did you get your kit ready? What did they expect you to do? This is polishing your boots, your buttons, your blankoing. Tell us about as much detail as you can remember of how you get. Well,
you got to learn the knack of doing it in sequence with you. With your blankoing and your webbing, because what I used to do, I used to put me, I think I used to, well, I'm saying, I'm just said that, but when I'm writing, I used to do me brasses, put the brass toe on the brasses, then I used to leave that brass toe on because it used to dry up, you know, and protect the brass. Then I used to do, get all the dirty marks off that, off the webbing, and then get the blanco out.
Now, no one knows what blanco is now, and certainly won't in 50 years' time. What's blanco? How do you use it? What is it?
It's like a chalk substance, coloured khaki or white, or even black. I think you can get it.
And which was yours at this
stage?
Yeah, this
was khaki in the an ordinary standard infantry regiment.
Now, how do you use it?
You got this block, and you add a little like a nail brush type of thing, a bit softer than the nail brush, but that's what I used to have. And you'd put in water and make a paste, like a very fine paste, and paint it on. And you had to be careful that you didn't put too much on. So when you put it round your waist, it cracked. You know, you've got to be just the right gauge.
And this is on your webbing?
On the webbing. All what I call 36 pattern webbing. 44 pattern was all jungle green stuff. That was better, that one.
It all goes on.
Yeah.
And then what's it? How do you dry it?
Oh, but you wait until that was out of the way. And you say, hang it on or as close to the radiators for it to dry. And
in your room, you didn't have a drying room then.
They used to have a Blanco room, I think. Nearly come to think of it, but you couldn't draw it in there. You couldn't leave it in there because if you got better gear than somebody else, they'd nick it. But you had to take that back into your room and then assemble your. And you got to guide it so it's not. You've got to assemble it together, especially your straps and your pages. Because when you put it through the metal pieces, the Blanco would come off, so you've got to be very careful how you put it together and not with the Blanco. And one of the gags were anybody who's got skin disorder, I know one man used to rub it on his hand, on his arm, see if he could get dermatitis and get out of it. I'm not kidding you. Some of the things people used to try and do. To swing the lead and get
out. I will come back to that because that's it. Now, so that's your brass and your blanket, your webbing. Now, what about boots?
Oh,
how do you? What state were they in when you got them? They'd be new.
That'd be brand spanking new.
What state were they in?
Well, I don't know whether these ain't clean.
They can't see and remember. So
That some boots. We've got a pimple effect on where they used to make them in Northampton for the army, and all pimply. Then you get some blokes with bigger feet, and they get a nice smooth leather look the officers had, and some of them were brown, and they used to have a dye on black, and because they've got about 3 weeks start on you, and they used to you give them a good brushing. And black and brush them, and then you just get the old little circles with the old a drop of water.
Now, how do you get rid of the pimples?
With the other boot, the black boots, you'd have to warm your spoon on a candle and put and make sure there's plenty of polish on the cap, and you'd iron it with this, and that's the only way you could get rid of them. You could, and you had to be careful that you didn't crack the leather, because you'd get done for your arm in your boot.
Now, so you, which polish were you using? I mean,
Kiwi.
Was that? I mean, because there's another one, Cherry Blossom, isn't there? Mm. Why Kiwi? Because some regiments seem to be Kiwi and some seem to be Cherry Blossom. Now, why Kiwi?
Well, we always use Kiwi, don't we?
Was it the choice of the soldier, or was that just what they gave you?
I think I think some regiments thought they got better results with Kiwi. And Kiwi never used to dry out so much as what. That was sort of better quality of stuff.
Now, you were telling me I interrupted you to take you back, but how do you put it on then?
Well, you get your rag.
They can't see, remember, so.
No. You get your rag around your finger and pull it tight. And you dip it in the water and then onto the polish. Get a good sample on your polish. Quite a bit of polish on your finger. And then you go around it like that. And out of the time, I've got a pair of boots upstairs. And it's just the toe caps. And it keep going round and round in circles. And it's a dry up. And you know just when you're doing some good. And
did you actually use spit? Because some of the old regulars did. Or did you use your water in a bowl?
Well, I'll use a spit and, you know, if there was any water, they can do both.
Yeah. And how, was it just in the Northampton, the toe cap, or was it the heel?
It was the heel and the toe cap. And they never pushed, mind you, the rest of your boot have got to be a bit unmarked, but this area.
The side.
The sides, they didn't matter. But other regiments, they wanted the lot, like guards.
Now, what about the underneath? Were they bothered?
Oh, yes. And you either started to lock the instep part there, that had to be clean. and you should have to have, I think it's 13 studs in you. And if you were short on an inspection and weren't missing, they'd have you for it. Yeah.
Did they, you ever polish the studs?
No. When you've been on muck, though, you made sure it were brushed clean, you know what I mean? I've never polished them.
Now, so you've got, that's your uniform. Now, if they're having a kit inspection or uniform, I mean, how did you have to lay out your bed and your thing? You started telling me a bit when I cut you off, but how did you lay your bed area out for inspection by either the officer or the sergeant or whatever? Yeah.
Well, you made sure you had your two US blankets underneath your mattress to start, then you'd have you'd have your sheet. Now let's get this right. No, you'd have your blank. Oh, there was a sheet, huh? Because we used to turn it in. But I think it was blanket tucked in, and the corners all squared up. And then we had a blanket folded so it went a length of your bed, and we used to put another blanket first, folded at right size, the same width as you. Then a sheet, folded with a nice white edge. Blanket, sheet, then a blanket. Then you folded it round, it fitted like a envelope sort of thing. Gently turn it upside down, and that went at the head of the bed. And it was all got to be nice and square, no tipping or anything like that. And that would be your bed layout. That's an ordinary room inspection, but if you had a general inspection, you'd have your spare boots, your spare laces, coiled up like a snake, with a black bit of cotton to hold it in position. Your housewife.
What was the housewife?
Thimble, cotton, wool, and a mushroom. They used to put your eel in. I'm sure he had a mushroom, yeah. And your brass thing that you slid the buttons.
Button
stick, that's it. What else did I say? Oh, you'd have either, you'd have your white and the red vest for your PT lady, a shirt, underpants, something else missing. But every item you had used to be laid out.
And did you have a sort of picture or a diagram of how to
yes,
do it?
Yeah.
And how did they actually go about the inspection? I mean, what did they do?
Oh, that's what they went round for with 5-4, wasn't it? To see whether you were up to standard. I've had my webbing go through the window, 8-sided, where when I was saying about the blanket, it dried too quick or I used too much water, I left a water stain on it. I had to pick it up. This is not a word in a lie either. And I thought, Christ, I can't believe this. Because I couldn't get out of camp for that three nights, so you're getting out of camp and not doing your gear properly.
Well, yeah. In some units, they'll tip the bed over.
Oh, yeah, I've had that done. And, you know, it was just slung to one side, so, you know, it wasn't good enough, and that's it.
Mm. So, pretty severe inspections.
Oh, yeah. And you had to be on the ball, because it all depends whether you went out that weekend, whether... I thought you were slacking.
Can I ask you about discipline generally? I mean, how strict was the discipline? How did you respond to the discipline as well? I mean, you've been working as an apprentice, so you've been under discipline. How did you react to the army discipline?
Some of them I thought was, you know, necessary. Some I thought was taken a bit too far. But
what was necessary? What was going a bit too far?
When we was... wasn't got the procedure for being paid. You have your name called out and you march up to the table. You're all, especially for the first two or three times, you're all keyed up. The bloke's saluting with the wrong arm, having the money for the right and saluting with the left. doing the wrong, let's say, doing a right turn and march over, and doing a left, and you know, bits like that. And because that never worked out, and they want it, and now you're going to, you, what do you think I'm really telling you, poor kids? We was all out, air patrolling, at night, and it was, the weather was getting a little bit better, and we were there with knives and forks cutting the lawns around the officers' mess.
As a punishment.
As a, you know, punishment, yes. And I've heard the guards have done that.
What other punishment fatigues were there?
Cookies.
Now, what would you do in the cookout?
Well, do you want why I got this?
Okay, yeah.
Well, being in the army, then my mate was in her room next to me. We shared the locker. Everybody shared a locker. And his grey coat and mine was hanging at the back. Well, he got moved out of the room one day into another, wouldn't bring him ours. Because he grabs a great coat, thought it was his, and about the following 2 days, it was a pay parade, and I couldn't find my pay, because I always used to put my pay book in the pocket, so it was safe, so I didn't lose it. Because he took my grey coat, I couldn't find my pay book, because when I went up to the officer, I said, where's your pay, you know, because you give him the pay book, I've lost it, sir. Well, you thought the Third World War had started, but especially being in training. Well, I thought, blimey, I should never get out of this army, sort of thing. And I got jankers for that.
And yeah. What's jankers?
Well, extra duty.
Fatigues, yeah.
Yeah, but in training, it's a little bit different, because you don't do jankers while you're training, because your time's already took up. So what happens? You've got to go. It's cookies. And I thought, Christ almighty, what have I done now? I was in the cookies for 3 days at night, and all my job was, it's the old favourite, spud. And I thought, I should be all right here. Got a spud machine there. We're going to do get the ice out. And do you know what? That was a big heap of spuds, and I'd got to do them. This is like you see in a comic book, isn't it? And I had to do them all by hand. They wouldn't let me use the spud machine. I was straight up. Yeah, so I got that off me back. And got off them jankers. And what else? Something else I got caught for. Never mind, I can't think of it at the moment.
Was there much stealing in the? You mentioned that people would nick your kids if you left it out. Was there a differential? I can't say. Is a difference made between stealing kit and stealing, you know, money or things?
There wasn't so much stealing. It was borrowing. You know, they called it borrowing. But if you was in a platoon and you'd always get somebody with a smashing pair of boots or something like that. You got go on guard. Can I borrow your boots? You know, they'd do it. But stealing as such, it wasn't all that prominent. But the only things you might do for a bit of a gag is go up to the other platoon that was the other end of the building and nick something off of them. And, you know, it was, but it sorted itself out. It was a bit of camaraderie. In air intake, I can't remember anybody doing anything like nicking somebody's wallet or anything like that.
Now, what about, what would you do for amusement? I mean, most of the time you seem to be cleaning your kit and the rest of it, but I mean, what would you do in the evening? Was there a canteen you could go to?
A naffy, yeah.
Now, what was a naffy canteen like? What did it offer you as a young, 20-year-old?
Yeah. They were quite good, the naffy, you know, that you could get a pint of beer.
It was a wet canteen, eh?
Yeah. Food was pretty good. They'd done a good line on food, but some of it, you know, some of the lads who couldn't tackle some of the others.
Was it better than the army food? I mean,
oh yeah. Well, it was not food. It was like sausage roll. I think they did warm so and the sausage roll warm. But that was nearly. It was nearly all cold stuff. Yeah, sandwiches and you know what.
Would you always have beer, or would you have a cup of tea or coffee? Or
yeah, you get tea or coffee, yeah.
Now, did they put things on for you to do? Darts or billiards? Or
well, you made your own. There was dart boards. I don't remember anybody, any now it's been dark now at all, or Skitlands now, you know. Funny enough, John Dilliston, who's got your name, you got down there, he used to play the Joanna piano, and he was magic. I mean, and he played it like a pub pianist and all. Of course, him, that was all buying him an odd pint or two, and of course, he had the hangers on, so he used to help him drink, because he never drink all the amount of beer he used. You know, it was, nobody was rich, but they all appreciated what he
so
could
what
do.
So what sort of stuff would he play?
Oh, Christ. There'll be bluebirds over the rain, you know.
All popular ones.
Yeah, oh, especially the army ones as well, you know. Something like you see on a British Legion sing along.
Now, what about when you were allowed out? Because I want to get onto this bit about the Americans in town. I mean, where were they? What would you do when you went out, when you were allowed out?
Well, we'd probably get pictures or have a few jars and think we were jacking our lads. And
well, did you go to your old pubs that you used to go to?
Yeah.
Or, or would you go to an army pub, you know, where the lads went?
Well, the pubs I took my mates to are the ones I used when I was in Civvy Street, because some pubs I liked and some I didn't. I just give them an idea what I used to do. Yeah.
Would you drink heavily? I mean, what level of drinking are you talking about? I presume you didn't have much money.
No, but I used to get subbed at home a bit, being local. But and I'd got a bit. I wouldn't say I'd got a lot of money. I think my savings lasted training, sort of thing. I hadn't got a lot.
So but how much would you drink on a big night out?
Well, a real night, I think we'd get about 8 or 10 points.
That's quite a lot. So you'd be drunk or tipsy.
Yeah, well, it was.
Now was there ever any trouble? Because you mentioned the Americans.
Well, I'd case, but nothing serious. Not like I could tell you bits and bits when we went on shore leave and on.
So what about on you mentioned the Sunday march back. Was that
Sunday?
When you were marching back from church parade, you had some trouble with the Americans. What was that?
Oh, about? No, we went into an American pub. Sometimes, you know, you got to know them out of a week, and they might treat you to a drink or something like that. But, you know, and that was that side of it. And of course, some of the Yanks thought they were a lot better than us, and of course, that didn't go down very well.
Where were they from?
Alconbury. There was about two or three American bases around here.
But generally, you got on okay with them.
Yeah. But, you know, well, it was all in the forces, you know. It's like I could have gone to a pub where was the Ordnance Corps from Banbury or Whedon. And then I was in that pub there, in the mate of it. There had been scrapes in there, but we did have one bit of trouble in the Orson Green, but it was, you know, it sorted itself out in the yard. It never bowled over anywhere.
What was the cause of the trouble?
Of women.
You and the Americans arguing over
it. Yeah. It was always, there was a woman at the base, at the root of the trouble. Not saying that the woman caused the trouble, it's the attitude of the two pretenders.